One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today on The Grave Talks, the massive world of the supernatural. Jessica Jones is a very curious woman. As a researcher in all things paranormal, she's gone down many paths, seeking answers to questions involving ghosts, extraterrestrials, Bigfoots, and much more. As with anyone seeking answers in these areas, she's been left with far more questions than answers. Today, we discuss her research, experiences, and the belief she's come to hold on her journey to the paranormal.
Well, for me, it began when I was a little kid, and I would go outside at night and watch for UFOs. I grew up on a farm out here in little Georgia, and I would take my little nap mat for kindergarten, and I would go outside and lay on the ground and look at the stars at night, watching for UFOs. Now, not only that, but I would go to the library, and I would go straight to the fictional section and look for ghost stories. Okay, so I was really big into ghosts and aliens and UFOs and Bigfoot, you know, all that stuff when I was a kid. So it started at a very early age for me, but I do remember around kindergarten, I had a fascination with UFOs.
How interesting! So, yeah. Did you have an experience that kind of brought you to it? Was it just kind of one of those things where, you know, it's on Unsolved Mysteries and that kind of brings you in? What was it for you?
Yeah, you know, I do remember Unsolved Mysteries. That was a great show, but I believe that I was having experiences when I was younger. Don't really remember. Okay. So I do believe that there was something. I was always scared at night. You know, I had bunk beds that I shared with my sister, and I had the top bunk bed, and I would line the side of my bunk bed that had a little, it had a crack in between the board and the bed. And I was always scared that something was going to grab me at night. So I lined the entire line of that with stuffed animals, little plushies and dolls, because I didn't want anything sticking its hand through my bed and grabbing my leg when I was sleeping. So, you know, I maybe that's just the typical, you know, I was, you know, being a kid and I could have been a little scared from all the, you know, ghost stories my mom would tell me. But, you know, I was probably having experiences when I was a kid. And that's why I had that deep seated, you know, fear. But, you know, I can't put my finger on anything in particular other than just being fascinated with ghost stories. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a family where my great grandmother and my great aunt actually had a possible abduction experience when they were driving down the road in the 1980s. Okay. They were up in Rome, Georgia, and driving down a highway one night, and a light came down over their car and it enveloped the entire car. And they don't remember anything until they kind of snapped out of it. And they were 10 to 20 miles down the road in another county. And they were missing about 2 hours of time, but they were still on the road driving. Okay. So, you know, I grew up with stories like that. We have a lot of stories passed down that are very paranormal in my family with, you know, people being on, like my great, great grandmother was on her deathbed and a fireball came out of the woods and circled the house and went inside their house as she was dying. And so the family attributed that to being an ancestor coming to take her to heaven. You know, my great grandmother and my great aunt, their story was not aliens, not ET. It was angels coming down to take them, pluck them out of their car and move their car over to avoid an accident. Okay. It was angels. Mm-hmm. It's always angels or something, you know, some sort of religious explanation, you know, in my family. It was never thought of an alien, you know, doing any of this stuff or any kind of orbs or ETs or anything like that. So of course it's all about perception, right? Mm-hmm. So we only know what we know. We only understand what we already know, basically. So, you know, if you know angels, that's those angels, right? So, yeah, I grew up hearing kind of stories and living it.
So, yeah, these were things that were very familiar to you. It wasn't something that was shunned or we don't talk about this or that's not real. It was, these are experiences family members have had, others have had, and it was just kind of adapted as, well, this is kind of part of life.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually really lucky in that aspect because I was never made fun of. I was, you know, I wasn't a black sheep of the family. We were all black sheep.
Yeah.
Apparently. So we were just a family of black sheep. So,
one big breeding family of black sheep where it's like, we're all black sheep. This is great. Yeah, that's great.
We all match.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
We're on the same level.
You had said earlier that you probably had experiences when you were younger and you don't remember. Do you attribute that to it just being, you know, childhood? Sometimes kids don't remember things from earlier years. Do you attribute that to maybe they were blocked out because it was, you know, so traumatic or just different, you know, than other things in childhood? What do you look at?
All of it. Yeah, I think it could have been all of it. And knowing what I know now, I believe that I've been having experiences my entire life because as recently, as a few years ago, I was having ET contact. Okay. And so, but that didn't start until I started studying alien abductions. Okay. So, and that stemmed from being out in the field doing Bigfoot research. So it's like a snowball effect. One thing kind of leads to another. You know, growing up, seeing ghosts when I was a kid and, you know, as a young adult, I had several, times at night where I would wake up and there'd be people standing by my bed, you know, just as solid as you and I, you know, humans. And I would talk with them and they would communicate with me, but their mouths would never move. And that's just something I always felt was odd. It was telepathy. At the time, I didn't understand what telepathy was, but I was having conversations with these people and their mouths weren't moving, you know, and I do remember that. Now, when I started having contact with ETs, I'm having conversations with them just like I did with a ghost when I was a kid and a young adult. And their mouths aren't moving. But like I've told people before, I don't even think they had mouths. Okay. So, but I heard their conversations. I heard what they were saying to me. I heard, you know, and I was talking back. in my mind, I guess it was just an understanding there. So was I seeing ETs when I thought I was seeing ghosts when I was younger? You know, I don't know. It's all kind of muddled together for me now because I don't know what the connection is and what the separation is anymore.
When you look back on those experiences of waking up and seeing people around you in your bedroom, can you recall what some of those things are that were said to you, what those conversations were about?
Yeah, I do. It happened several times. And a lot of the ones that I remember are right after my brother passed away. I had a younger brother who died in a car accident back in 2006. And the week after he died, actually, you know, it was horrible. And I was having a hard time with it, losing my brother. He's my baby brother. You know, he's 22, but still he's my baby brother. And, you know, I woke up one night and there were orbs all over my bedroom. They were green orbs. And I was watching them as they kind of moved in this weird movement. And they started forming from feet down on the ground all the way. It was like boots to a pair of jeans to a polo shirt to arms and then a head. And I saw it was my brother. And he sat down on the bed and he didn't say anything to me, but he leaned over and he kissed my forehead and I felt it. Okay. So that was an interesting time. He didn't communicate other than he gave me a kiss on my forehead and it was almost like, you know, telling me goodbye. Mm-hmm. And it was very comforting. Now, about a week later, I woke up with a man and a woman. The woman was knelt by the bed and the man was standing behind her and they were dressed in Victorian era clothes. And they kept telling me, thank you. Thank you. We really appreciate you, what you've done. And I couldn't understand what we're talking about. But I was wrestling with that fact that my family and I had to make the decision whether to donate my brother's organs. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sure.
And I was actually against it in a way because the way it was gone about, it was just, you know, about the right way with the organ donation company and all that kind of stuff. It just made our whole family we were already upset and it made us even more upset. We were having to deal with that. And, you know, but we decided to donate his organs. And so looking back on that, I came to terms with the fact that was, family. I think it was ancestors. It was someone thanking me for donating my brother's organs because it saved so many lives, you know, but it took another psychic friend of mine to help me interpret that what that was, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've never gotten any profound messages from any of these ghosts or spirits or even ETs that I know of. It's just been things that were comforting for me. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, maybe that's just my experience with all of this is just being comforted, you know, by the other side. So who knows?
Do you consider yourself someone who is able to pick up on these things when others may not? For example, just in theory, situationally here, what your opinion is. Let's say there was another person that was in the room with you when that experience happened. You saw the green orbs and you saw your brother come and give you a kiss on the forehead. Had there been another person in that room, would they have seen that? Or is that something that only you would have picked up on?
So interesting that you're asking me that because I do have an instance where I was in that situation. And I came home one weekend from a research weekend doing, you know, Bigfoot and ET paranormal research out at the Meadow, this place that my team researches. And I came home and my son was around 2 years old at the time. And he was on my elliptical machine and he was looking really cute. And his dad was there filming him with his camera. And it was really just having fun, having a good time. And I was in the kitchen making dinner and I got called into the living room where the elliptical machine was. And his dad said, hey, you know, you're going to want to see this. Mm-hmm. And he had his camera up and filming my son. And I looked up and I saw two balls of light floating around my son. And my son said, Mom, ball, ball. Mm-hmm. And I kept trying to figure out what it was. I thought it was a bug. You know, I said, oh, is that a bug? And my son said, no, Mom, ball. And his dad was not able to see these things with his own eyes. Mm-hmm. My son and I were watching them very clearly with our eyes, two orbs of light floating around. They had an intelligence about them. Okay. Mm-hmm. My son's father could only see them the phone. Through the camera on his phone. He could not whatsoever see them with his bare eyes. So in we filmed it, and the orb shot to the camera, towards the camera, and shut the camera off. Okay, but to this day, it's perplexing thinking about this. You know, my son and I were seeing these things, but my son's dad was not. Okay.
Yeah.
Only through the camera. Yeah.
That's a very interesting story to have that all happening in real time. Because it's a very interesting question that we ask about how are we perceiving these. You two were able to see them with your naked by the naked eye. He was not, but on camera it was showing up.
Yeah, we could all see it on the camera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess, and it's just, you know, it's conjecture, it's opinion. Why do you think that is, that it's showing up on camera? He's not seeing it. You're seeing it. Yeah. What is that?
That's a great question. You know, I'm always left with more questions than I have answers.
Of course.
You know, I think that maybe it runs in different people's families. Some people are able to see it and some aren't. I mean,
but a camera's able to see it, because a camera's not it's not genetic. It's not from someone else's family. Is there a frequency or something that a camera is picking up that the naked eye doesn't, unless you have a certain level of sensitivity, almost like a way of an audio, like a microphone or something, picking up frequencies, if you analyzed it, that the naked ear would not be able to really hear. Is the same thing going on visually?
Absolutely. I think so. Because, you know, there comes a time where, you know, on my spiritual journey, okay, I've been on the spiritual journey, and I am understanding now that life is all about energy, frequency, and vibration. Okay. And so I try to keep my vibrational frequency as high as possible. Okay. I've been working on my well-being, and as from the foods I eat, from the people I hang with, you know, and the things I watch on TV, and anything that I digest as far as the news and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I put up a protective shield around myself because I want to keep my vibrational frequency high. Mm-hmm. And I believe that is, you know, I think that's part of it. I think it's being on a different frequency than a lot of people. You know, maybe that's it. I mean, I'd explain that, you know, it's because we have more DMT in our bodies or something, you know, it could be all sorts of different things, but I think the vibrational frequency is one of those things on the top of my list.
Is it difficult to keep up a high vibrational frequency when you're dealing with things that in many ways the general public and those who are not super familiar with it, I mean, even those who are, you know, can be somewhat fear-based. I mean, we're talking about ghosts, we're talking about ETs, we're talking about Bigfoots, things that don't necessarily always have, you know, warm and fuzzy wrapped up around them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, But you look at it two ways, actually. So it can be, you know, people are, you know, we do live in a fear-based society. And, you know, the things that I do are scary. I'm a paranormal field researcher, and I go out and I communicate with Bigfoot. Okay. And so I do things that a lot of people are too scared to do and would never think of doing. Okay. Spending days on end, nights on end in the woods with mythological creatures that they're actually real. But but anyways, you know, I do weird stuff like that, but I'm inoculated to all the high strangeness. So even when I have an ET show up in my house at night, I'm okay with it. You know, it's like, oh, that's another weird thing that just happened. Okay, so there's that aspect. Okay, yes, it is scary. It is very traumatic to have an experience the first time someone experiences a ghost or sees a Bigfoot or, you know, has an alien or, you know, a UFO experience. Okay, sure. Very scary. But at the same time, when someone sees something that's, you know, outside of your reality, outside of this 3D matrix, this box that we're taught to live in and to conform to, what that does is it shifts your entire reality. And so it raises your vibration, okay? And it jolts you out of this 3D way of thinking and living. Okay. It takes you up a dimension or two. Okay. And I may not be right. But this is what I believe. Okay. Mm-hmm. So sure. I think it's actually a good thing when people do have an experience that they can't explain. It shifts your entire reality. And I think that the world needs more of that right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it, as weird and crazy as that sounds, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I always find that interesting. It's something that I kind of like, I battle a little bit myself because my world is talking about ghosts and true crime.
Right.
And it's like, well, I try to stay as positive and because otherwise that stuff can suck you down, especially the true crime.
Exactly.
I mean, because I don't like to watch the news. I the only time I really kind of take that in these days is when I'm prepping for a show. And then I'm just disgusted by the time I'm done with it. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe people are doing these things.
I know, right?
But it's like, but it's entertaining and it helps pay the bills. But it's like, this is dark. But right. Yeah, it's so interesting. I'm very interested. You know, you have your foot in the pool of all these different things, all these different mm-hmm. paranormal, you know, areas, if we're just to kind of generically talk about it. Do you think, and this is, I want to know your experience and your opinions, is there a connection between all of these things that we, you know, blanketly call paranormal, whether it be, you know, what we view as ghosts or spirits, to ETs, to Bigfoots, things of that, or do they all really kind of live in their own respective categories?
They're all connected, in my opinion. Okay, and I'm going to tell you why I believe that.
Yeah.
Well, when we go out, do Bigfoot field research. Okay, so I'm on three different Bigfoot field research teams. Mm-hmm. And the first time I ever went out on an expedition with these guys, I spent an entire night having a low-flying UFO hover over my head, okay, while I was out there being bait, I guess, for Bigfoot, right? And sure. We had ET, interdimensional UFO stuff going on the whole time I was there, okay? So not only do we have ET or a lot of orbs in the woods, lots of orbs. You know, what are orbs? Mm-hmm. That's a whole other topic, a whole other show we could talk about orbs, okay? Yeah. Now, not only that, but we do everything. We go out and we do the SD sessions out in the field while we're, you know, studying Bigfoot and aliens and portals. You know, that's ghosts. We communicate with spirits while we're out there. I mean, it's everything. Now, is it the areas that we're going to just have a whole lot of high strangeness? Yes. Okay. Is it the group of people that we have that research together that are just highly switched on humans? Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot of factors that factor into this. But however, once you get your foot in the door to one of these things like Bigfoot, you know, it takes you right into UFO, you know, studying UFOs and alien abductions and possibly being abducted and, you know, communicating with and having trickster spirits in your base camp. And my team actually has a portal that opened up that showed up in the middle of the field and we have it documented and we sent two of our team members into it. Okay. So we've got that. I mean, it's just such a mix of so much stuff out there. And to me, yes, I think it's all connected.
Tell me about getting into the world of Bigfoot research and what kind of drew you into that? And what was your attitude about it going in?
Oh, interesting. Well, I didn't, you know, go looking for this. Mm-hmm. It just kind of, I stumbled onto the path of being a Bigfoot field researcher somehow. My mother was attending Wednesday night meetups at a friend's house where they had these wonderful topics every Wednesday night about anything metaphysical or supernatural or survivalist stuff. Or, you know, they had speakers there, gold and silver and you name it, just any kind of topic, mm-hmm. Hypnosis, ghost, whatever the hot thing was that week.
Yeah.
And so she invited me one Wednesday. She said, "Hey, Jessica, you know, these Bigfoot field researchers are going to be there. And I think you would really enjoy hearing what they have to say." And so I said, "Okay, great. You know, I'll meet you there." And I went and these gentlemen gave a presentation on their Bigfoot field research. And it was amazing. And they had just wonderful evidence and they were very knowledgeable. And of course, I had all sorts of questions like, okay, well, how come you've never found a body? You know, where's the poop? You know, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
What, like typical stuff that the everyday ordinary person wants to know about Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And they saw that I was really interested in it. And I went up and talked to the guys after the program and they said, hey, we're having an expedition in a month or two to come join us. And so I thought, hey, you know, what better way to spend a weekend than with a whole bunch of strange men in the woods chasing Bigfoot?
You know? That doesn't sound like the beginning of a Dateline episode or anything.
Oh, my God. You know? It was everybody thought I was crazy. Yeah. But, you know, honestly, it was the best thing I've ever done. And here I am today. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was in 2011 when I did that. And that was the first time that I went out and did a Bigfoot expedition and put myself out there and volunteered to be bait, you know, the Sasquatch bait, and to lure the Sasquatch out. You know, they send the girl up the hill, so you know he'll come out and grab me. But I didn't get grabbed, thank goodness. But I had a good time and got to experience UFOs and Bigfoot and God knows what else out in those woods that weekend.
So,
tell
me about like what you had mentioned. You know, the UFO thing. Tell me about experiencing Bigfoot. I mean, what exactly happened?
Well, here's something that's very interesting. And, you know, and I honestly don't like to label things because after some of our experiences out in the field, we were all taught to be remote viewers. So my entire team is trained in remote viewing and the same kind of remote viewing that the military's used for years. And I do coordinate remote viewing. I actually have a show about remote viewing now that I do every Friday night where I remote view paranormal attacks on people. So, but anyways, you know, I've been that first expedition. Okay. This all goes back to the first expedition. When I was being baited, you know, that I was baiting the Bigfoots. Mm-hmm. I was walking up a hill while they were watching me through their thermals and their FLIRs. And, I thought one of the guys was running up behind me to scare me because I heard something, I felt something, and I just felt an energy rushing at me. And I kind of stopped in my tracks a little bit. You know, I slowed down my walking and something ran up behind me and sweeped my legs out from underneath me and kept going right past me. Okay. Now, I couldn't explain what that was. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was one of the guys, but there was nothing there. Mm-hmm. So I think from the very beginning, you know, was a ghost? I don't know. Was it a cloaked Sasquatch? You know, that people claim that they can cloak themselves. You know, I have no idea. So, so that happened. And, you know, I could not explain it at the time. Nobody else could either. There was nothing on the FLIRs. There was nothing on the thermals. Nobody saw anything, but I know what I experienced, you know? So that did happen. Now, was it a Bigfoot? I can't say it was. Mm-hmm. But since then, you know, we always have lots of activity. I have to be honest with you. I've never seen a Bigfoot's face like up close. I've never been that close to one to see its face. Now I've been close to them when I didn't see them though, when they're whooping and hollering and screaming at us in our camp. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of experiences with the big hairy guys. So
you had said earlier, you know, you know, kind of, you know, tongue in cheek, but true of being out there and communicating with these things. Tell me about that. What sort of communications do you have or have you had?
Well, you know, I haven't had a ton of communications with them, actually. Now, not to say my team hasn't, though, or has or hasn't. And a lot of the things that we do, we don't talk about. So I'm actually not able to talk about a whole lot of that with you today because my teams are very private with that kind of stuff. But yeah, there has been communication. I will tell you that there's been communication for sure. Now, me personally, I have not done a ton of communicating other than, you know, I'd be at base camp and sleeping at night and it's almost like I'm not sure if I'm dreaming or not, and there's things in my tent and breathing on me and just really weird stuff. Like when you start getting into the whole Bigfoot phenomenon, you start realizing that there's a way more to these things than just a big hairy monkey,
yeah. okay,
or a big primate in the woods. There's a whole other dimension to these things. And what I like to talk about a lot of times when I'm discussing Bigfoot and Sasquatch is the X factor, okay? And so, like I said earlier, I've been on the spiritual journey and I'm learning all about energy and frequency and vibration. And I understand that there is a major X factor to Sasquatch, all right? And so that includes telepathy, you know, possibly being interdimensional, okay, because they're coming and going and in a flash of a light, and you hear footsteps, and then they just, you know, you don't hear them, you see a flash of light, and they just disappear. Tracks come and go, like we'll be following a track line, and the footprints just stop, you know, they just vanish out of thin air. Like I said, a lot more questions than answers, but, you know, you'll be sleeping in base camp. And, you know, by the way, it's almost 100%, just about, it'd be every time, you know, once everybody starts snoring, that's when those guys like to come and around the base camp and start whooping and whistling and stuff. So if you really want to have a fun experience and get to know the Bigfoot, stay up at night when you're out camping and wait till everybody starts snoring and listen to see what happens. Okay.
What,
because that's when they like to come around.
What kind of energy are you perceiving from these things when they're surrounding a base camp, making these kinds of noises? Is it a, like, scare these people out of here type thing? Is it a,
no,
we're curious? Like, what are you getting?
Well, I've never gotten a bad vibe. It's usually curiosity. Okay, it's usually curiosity. And, you know, in the places that we research, we go there so much and we've been there so many years that I think they probably know us. Okay, so there's no malicious, you know, energy coming out of them at all. Not so far. Not when I've been there, at least. It's been pretty benevolent.
Are Bigfoots related more so to almost supernatural than they would be like a primate, with the fact that, like you said earlier, there's people who claim that they can cloak themselves or you know, basically disappear in some way, shape, or form. Is this something where these are beings of some sort that are really not truly, I guess you would say, living, breathing, or are they something more supernatural that takes these forms?
Oh, you know, I'm gonna have to answer all of it.
Okay.
because I do believe that they are flesh and bone, you know, but I mean, even humans, we're not just flesh and bone, right? We have souls, you know, and there's way more to even humans than we understand. And same with those things, with those creatures. And, you know, there is definitely a supernatural element to them. But I mean, like I said, I don't have all the answers, but also it may just be that we can't see them. Maybe there's something inside of our eyes. Like, we don't have the rods and the cones, you know, there's something in our eyes that makes it where we can't detect them. Maybe they're standing right in front of us, but we just can't see them. You know, maybe there are UFOs and aliens right in front of us, and ghosts and all that. They're always right in front of us, but we can't see them because our eyes cannot detect them. You know, maybe it's us.
That's
like
interesting.
I have more question than answers.
No, I mean, that's very interesting. I mean, an analogy I could make to that would be the flickering of an old TV set, or I have a set of Christmas lights that I have above one of my counters or above one of my cabinets. And when you film it, you can see it flickering because of the frequency at which it's vibrating. So it looks like they're, you know, flickering on and off, but they're not to the naked eye. You know, is it something like that, like a vibrational thing where, you know, sometimes it gets picked up on camera, sometimes it gets picked up by a person that seems to be able to have an extra sense than maybe others do and picks up on frequencies than others do? Is that kind of what yeah. you're thinking?
I think so. Yeah, I think that could be that could be a way to explain it. Absolutely. I just think that there are, you know, are they able to raise their vibration and lower it at will? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more studying that needs to be done. I don't know if we'll ever know. But, you know, it doesn't stop me from going out there and still researching and studying and, you know, and meeting new people and meeting other researchers who mm-hmm. go out and have experiences, because we're never going to learn until we start talking to other researchers and get out there more and spending more time in the woods. That's the only way we're ever going to start figuring this stuff out. So, and that's why I really enjoy having my shows that I do, where I get to talk to other researchers and just exchange ideas and bounce ideas off of each other. And, you know, I like to put things out there that may not make sense right now, but, you know, I'm trying to connect the dots mm-hmm. and it may not make sense today and people may call me crazy, but maybe down the road, it'll all make sense. You know, maybe we can connect some dots that no one's ever connected before when it comes to Bigfoot and Sasquatch.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Jessica. In part two, why is it that some plots of land are more prone to being a hotspot paranormal activity than others? What happened when Jessica's crew came across a portal in the middle of a field? And what happened to one member who stepped into that portal that didn't end very well? How did Jessica communicate with what she believes to be an ET? And are we sometimes visited by things like that in dreams in the same way that some are visited by deceased loved ones, making it more of a spiritual experience than that of a physical one? Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.